He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth the spirit is better than he that taketh a city. Right? Okay. How would you like to be driving a car? One of these fast, one of these Ferrari or something, right? You got 100 miles per hour and you don't have any brakes. The possibility is that the vehicle would crash. What brakes is to a vehicle, self-control is to a human. Many of us are traveling at a very high speed. And brethren, if we don't have brakes or self-control, we are going to crash. What is self-control? To be self-controlled means to control oneself. It means you will decide what you will think, feel, and how you will act. What should believers control? As humans, we love to control everything, right? We control the sun for make heaters for a house. What else we control? We control rivers, make electricity, right? We control some wives want to control their husbands, right? And some husbands want to control their wife. So the parents will want to control children. And the children control their friends and people control their relatives. But before we seek to control others, we need to control ourselves.
Right.
We should seek to control ourselves. What do we need to control? Firstly, we need to control our thoughts. What are thoughts? Thoughts are unspoken words in our mind. Or it's thoughts that come to our mind. Where do thoughts come from? They come from within us. Matthew 15 verse 19. They come from others. They come from Satan and evil spirits. And they come from God. Can we prevent thoughts from coming to us? What do you think? You think you can prevent thoughts from coming to you?
No.
No. Thoughts will come to us either we like it or not. Right? Thoughts will come from within us, others, Satan's, and God. We cannot prevent them from coming to us, but we can decide whose thoughts will rule us. Proverbs 23 verse 7 tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That goes for man and woman, right? Secondly, we want to control our desires, our feelings. What are feelings or desires? Feelings and desires that come to us, for example, we may say, I am hungry or feel hungry. It is something we experience, a feeling of joy, a feeling of pain, love or hate. Can we stop feelings from coming to us?
No.
We cannot stop feelings from coming to us, but we can decide which ones will rule us. Where do feelings come from? Feelings come from within us, Matthew 14, 19, from others, from Satan, evil spirit, and from God. When feelings or desires come to us, we must decide which one of these feelings will rule us. Hate or love, sin or righteousness, Romans 6, 16. What we want to control? Thirdly, we're going to want to control our words. What are words? Words are our spoken thoughts. Language is the expression of our thoughts in word. Languages are made up of sentences. A sentence is a complete thought expressed in words. Words can be powerful things. They can create, give life, heal, etc. They can also bring death, sickness, condemnation to us when we speak them. Mark 11:23 tells us, Jesus our Lord speaking says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. When we speak words, whether positive or negative, believe with our hearts, they will come to pass. They will, right? Numbers 12. Where do words come from? Words come from us, from others, and from God. Can we prevent words from coming to our minds? No. We cannot prevent them from coming to our minds, but we can decide whether we want to act on them or not. When thoughts and words come to us, what should we do? We should never, ever, ever, never accept them. Instead, test them to know their origin. Right? How can we know if a thought, feeling, or word is from God? By asking ourselves the following questions. Is it according to God's word? Is it good? If acted upon it, would it bring glory to God? If acted upon, would it help others? Can we do it as unto the Lord? If the thought, feeling, or word that comes to you is from God, then through the help of the Holy Spirit, act upon them. But if it is not from God, through the help of the Holy Spirit, say no to them. Refuse to do them. Reject them. What would be results when thoughts, feelings, words, and other things come from God and we act upon them? He will bless us. He will use us and reward us in this life and the one to come. Example, we have Joseph. According to the Bible, he was tempted by Potiphar's wife to commit sin. According to the Bible, his master's wife took notice of him and said to him, come to bed with me. Alright, this is Joseph, right? So, Potiphar's wife, I believe she was a beautiful woman, right? She got the curves, she got the walks, she got the talks, right? So, she come to me by Joseph now. She come in, strap a bookie up. Come, Joseph, who going on? Not like this, right? But, you come to Joseph. Look, she give the sexy walk. And you know them girls are like fling there? Right? And she come to Joseph now. And when she proposed to Joseph, evil thoughts, feelings, or urges, maybe it began to urge him to give in to them. Right? But I believe to the help of our Lord, Joseph refused and exercised self-control and decided to do what God wanted him to do.
Yes,
so he said to her, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? As a result of his dedication to God and exercising self-control,
yes,
he suffered for a little bit. He was put into prison, but his suffering was not for long, because God took him out of prison and mightily blessed him. He made him become prime minister of Egypt. Brethren, if we honor God by doing right, he will honor us. So what would be the results if we obey the thoughts, feelings, and words that are wrong? We would suffer the consequences. Alright, let me give you an example now. I got a few examples for this one. You got Peter and Jesus, right? Jesus was in the Garden of Eden. He was talking and he said, Peter, I'm going to be taken. Peter said, no, Lord, we're going to take up swords. Right, matter of fact, he said, I will die for you, Lord. And Jesus said, before this night out, you will deny me 3 times, you little big mouth self. You, yeah, Peter. Right? So, you know, we talk a lot, right? We need the discipline and the doctrine, right? So, we got Samson. Samson was a mighty man, right? But Delilah, like, he was what? Wicked. I tell you, he was a wicked man, right? So, Samson was a mighty man, right? He destroyed the Philistines and so, but he didn't exercise self-control towards Delilah. So, he lost his hair, all his might, all his power. A man who could kill one set of people with the head of an ass. Excuse my words, right?
Donkey.
Yeah. Right? And God... So he didn't exercise self-control. What did he turn to? He turned blind. He was weak. He was grinding. What was it? Corn or something like that. He lost all his strength. Right? And we got David. According to Bible, 2 Samuel 11 from verse 2. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, isn't that Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. Here, according to the Bible, David was walking on the roof of the palace. When he saw a woman bathing, maybe the woman was naked. Thank God for enclosed bathrooms these days, eh? Right? He saw the woman bathing. Maybe the woman was naked. When he saw her, lustful thoughts came into his mind. When these thoughts came into his mind, was it a sin?
No.
He could have resisted the thoughts and stopped looking at the woman. Next, a desire or strong feelings came to David to have an affair with this married woman. When this feeling came to him, was it a sin?
No.
He could have resisted the feeling through the help of our Lord and exercised self-control. But David, like the thoughts and feelings of lust, he liked it. And this time David had wives and concubines.
Yes.
If he wanted to satisfy his biological need, he could have, right? 2 Samuel 5:13. But no, he allowed thoughts and feelings of lust to control him. He agreed to the urges. Jesus our Lord said in Matthew 5:28, anyone who looks at the woman with lustfully or have decided to have an affair with her was already committed adultery with her in his heart. According to Jesus our Lord, David had already committed adultery with Bathsheba in his heart. According to Jesus our Lord, this was a sin. It was committing adultery in his heart or in a man. I believe many of us as believers have many times committed many sins in our hearts. If at any time any sinful thoughts or feelings come to us and we agree or decide to do them in our hearts, we have already sinned in our hearts. At this point and time, David had sinned against God in his heart. According to Jesus our Lord teaching, what should he have done? He should have confessed his sin to God and repent or forsake his sin. 1 John 1:9, Acts 2:38. If he had done that, God would have forgiven him of his sin and restored him to fellowship with him. All that had happened up to this point and time was David's fellowship with God was broken. So yeah. When you say in your heart, the fellowship with God is broken, you can see that from David's story. So this was the consequence of his sin in his heart. And brethren, I'm saying to us, when we commit sin in our hearts, we will, and don't confess them or repent them, we will suffer the consequences of losing fellowship with our Lord. The Bible teaches us that David did not only commit adultery in his heart, but he went on to commit adultery with his body. He also allowed his sinful thoughts and feelings. He allowed the spirit of lust to use his body to commit the sin of adultery. It was now open to sin. In doing so, he sinned against God, against Bathsheba, against her husband, against his family, and against his kingdom. To cover up this sin, he caused Bathsheba's husband to be killed. What would be the consequence of his open sin? What would be the consequences because he allowed the spirit of lust or sinful thoughts and feelings of lust to control his body? According to the Bible, his child was born to Bathsheba died. Okay, we got, I think Nathan came to David and said, David, you brought, the sword is going to stay into your family. And his son died from Bathsheba. One of his son, Absalom, killed his brother Ammon for raping their sister, Ammon. One of his sons raped his daughter. Absalom violated his own father's wives upon sleeping with them. And Solomon wants his son to kill another son of David, Adonijah. All these consequences of David's sins could have been avoided if he could have resisted the thoughts and feelings of lust. Or if he had committed the sin in his heart, I would have confessed them and repent of them. But no, he went on and allowed the spirit of lust and sinful thoughts and feelings to control his body. And he suffered the consequences of his sins. In relation to consequences of sins, is there a difference between sinning in our hearts and sinning with our body or members of our bodies? Yes. When we sin with our hearts or spirit, the consequence is broken relationship with God. But when we sin with our bodies or members of our bodies, the consequences could be severe, like David. Note, David confessed and repented of his sins, and as a result, his sins were forgiven, and today he is in heaven. But the consequence of his sins, he had to suffer. Nathan said to him in 2 Samuel 12:14, "You have given the enemies of the Lord great opportunity to despise and blaspheme him." Okay, there in this body there is crime and consequence. In this though, it would be sin and consequence, right? Like if you commit a sin, like say you do murder, right? You get caught, you gotta pay your time. Right? In jail, God will forgive you. You get forgiven, but you still gotta do your time. So if you sin, you still gotta do your time outside. God will forgive you. But you still, you can see, you give people to blaspheme him. You can get down discouraged. People could mock you. You understand? So let us exercise self-control. So in 2 Samuel 12:14, for example, a preacher may commit the sin of adultery and confess and repent of his sin. But the consequence of this sin is shame, disgrace, lack of confidence of others, etc. He will suffer, or a young girl may commit the sin of fornication and become pregnant. If she confesses her sin of God, God will forgive her. But the consequence of her sin is the shame, disgrace, and etc. She must suffer. Brethren, it is God's will that we live a victorious Christian life. But in order for us to do so, we must exercise self-control through the help of our Lord. When through the help of our Lord, we exercise self-control like Joseph, he will bless us and use us. To conclude, what is self-control? Self-control is to control oneself. Decide what you will think, how you will feel, how you will act. What should we as believers control? We should control our thoughts, our desires, our feelings, our words, and our actions. When thoughts, feelings, and words come to us, what should we do? Never ever accept them. Instead, test them to know whether they are from God. How can we know when the thoughts, feelings, or words from God? By asking ourselves these questions. Is it according to God's word? Is it good? If acted upon, would it bring glory to God? If acted upon, would it help others? Can it be done as unto the Lord? What would be the results when we act upon thoughts, feelings, and words that is of God? He will bless us, use us, and reward us in this life and the life to come. What would the results when we act upon evil thoughts, feelings, and words? We will suffer the consequences of doing so. If we confess and repent of our sin, God would forgive us, yes, but we will still suffer the consequences of our sins. If we don't confess and repent of our sins, we will go to a lost eternity. Jesus, our Lord, speaking to a man, he said in St. John 5:14, "Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." 1 John 2:1 tells us, in closing, tells us, John speaking says, "To believers said, I write this to you, so that you will not sin." Alright. I want to give glory to God. Anyhow, is there anyone? I'm going to pray for everyone. If you, you know, if you messed up or anything, we just want to give glory to God. Recommit your life back to God. So, dear Lord, we come to you today, O God, to say thank you. We thank you, O God, for your life, O God, that you shed to us today, O God, that you died on the cross today, O God, for our sins today, O God. Help us to exercise self-control today, O God. Keep us, use us, mold us, and shape us, Lord. Help us to do the things that are right today, O God, are lovely and of a good report today, O God. Touch our minds, thoughts, souls, spirit, hands, and feet. Protect us on your blood today, O God. Help us to not sin today, O God. Cover us with your blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's continue to look to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. That was a very important subject that we just learned. One of the fruit of the Spirit, I think the scripture record, is self-control. Yeah. And thank God we don't have to control ourselves by our help and by our own power and strength. God has given us His Holy Spirit to help us control ourselves. So many people have gotten into so many trouble possibly because they haven't learned to control themselves. But thank God, by the help of the Lord, we can do it. The Word of God says it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. The Word of God far more tells us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I want to encourage us to live a life that is consecrated to the Lord. I want to, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. Examine nobody else and say, you know, he did something that was wrong or she did something that was wrong. Examine yourself and see where to be in the faith. Trust the Lord when temptation come again. When temptation come, or when situation come in your life, say, God, I know I failed before, but it's not going to happen again, Lord. By your help and your strength and your power, I'm going to be an overcomer. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. So I want to encourage everybody to look to the Lord. You want to say thanks to God for James and for using him for his glory, I believe, and for his honor and praise. Now that's a message for every one of us. We need to have self-control. And by the grace of God, we can. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need the Lord help 24/7. Hallelujah. Father,